Hi everyone, and welcome to the next episode of the iReady podcast. As ever, I'm your host, and with me is my co-host Dave. How are you doing, Dave?
Derek, I'm very well, mate. How's yourself?
I'm just off the treadmill, so I'm kind of like a reverse hard on the now. My body's all stiff, but my cock's no.
Okay, moving swiftly on. Kind of a podcast, is this? Oh dear. Right. Some things never change for you.
Hi everyone, and
oh dear. Sorry, where you go?
Hi everyone, and welcome to the next episode of the iReady podcast. As ever, I'm your host Derek, and with me is my co-host Dave. How are you doing, Dave?
I'm very well, mate. How's yourself?
I'm just off the treadmill, Dave, so I'm like Viagra, all stiff.
Sorry, we'll
start this again.
Oh dear, I told you, it's difficult when you're married and you've got young kids, Derek. I told you.
Right, we'll start that again.
No, oh, dear, right, okay. At least you've got plenty of outtakes, mate.
I might not put them in.
Oh, dear, right. Can I be honest with you, Derek? It was a 12 o'clock kickoff. I was night shift. I woke up just before 12. I got my iPad and I lay the iPad next to me on the bed as I lay on the pillow, and I kept drifting off to sleep. I saw the penalty. I saw the handball, the penalty. But I fell asleep just before half time, and I woke up about 15 minutes into the second half. So I'm going to have to ask you to wing this, you know, to see what actually happened.
Call yourself a Rangers fan, Davey.
Oh, come on.
So a quick free cake, wish it was, from Helen Dar. Right into the taff of Pavanier. That's right, is it?
And the stadium erupts in red, white and blue. You've never seen anything like it.
Let's go.
Manchester, brace yourself.
Hi everyone, and welcome to the next episode of the iReady podcast. As ever, I'm your host Derek, and with me is my co-host Dave. How are you doing, Dave?
Derek, I'm very well, mate. How's yourself?
I'm not bad. It's delighted after the performances we've been putting in lately.
Yes, I'm sure we've got a hell of a lot to talk about. I don't think this is going to be a short podcast considering the last two games anyway and the amount of goals that we're going to have to cover. But no, it's excellent. Goals galore. A good result once we calmed down in midweek. Didn't feel like it at the time, but when we think back about it, a very good result and another, you know, fantastic performances in the league.
I'm still raging, to be honest, about that result. So, so we'll get into that.
Thank goodness I'm here to be the old calm head, eh?
Put the emphasis on the word old there.
Yeah, so that's all right, mate. I accepted that a long time ago.
So I suppose we better just get down the tunnel and onto the park. So before we cover the football, obviously we would be remiss of us not to cover these few things first. And obviously sad news with the passing of Marius Zaleukas from motor neurons disease at age 36. Just absolutely shocking, especially at such a young age. He played 28 times for us, scoring 2 in the 2014-2015 season. And he's probably more noted for being the Scottish Cup winning captain of Hearts. Absolutely heartbreaking, especially because he's got a young child as well. But it's absolutely ridiculous what's happening with footballers and motor neurons disease now. I hope there's some sort of study going into this, because, you know, once again another young player has been sadly taken from us by this abomination of a disease.
Yeah, Derek, I'm sure, like myself and the vast, vast amount of Rangers supporters. We had no idea that he was ill in the first place. We had no idea that, you know, that he did have motor neurons disease. So when the news first broke, we were all like, oh my God, what's happened? Has he been involved in an accident? Has it been this? And then it, you know, later came out that he had been suffering from motor neurons disease. And like, you know, I had absolutely no idea. It's absolutely tragic for a guy who should still be playing, you know, age 36. For anyone to die that early is an absolute tragedy. But for somebody as fit as he was, you know, professional player, like I said, he should still be playing. So really, really tragic stuff. And, you know, I'm sure, like, the rest of the Rangers family out there, we just want to send our best wishes and our condolences to his friends and his family. Just, it's, you know, really, really shocking news.
Yep, absolutely. And another sad story here is that James Bond, Henry Jones, King Arthur and pod regular Sean Connery sadly passed away at the age of 90 as well, suffering from dementia in the last few years of his life, but an absolute true legend of the silver screen, and he'll obviously be sorely missed.
Yep, Derek, but I'm sure that you will keep his memory living on the podcast. It's, as you say, he's become a pod regular and certainly somebody that will not forget.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Sorry, was that too soon, old chap?
It was, mate.
You know,
Thank you, Sir Sean.
An icon of the silver screen and obviously his voice as well. But the next thing here, there's no really way to transition from people passing away, but the next thing here we've got to cover, I think, is Jordan Jones and Jord Edmondson being suspended after being fined by the police after breaking COVID regulations and going to a house party after the Killy game on the 1st of November. Both were not in the squad. Police were alerted due to a noise complaint and they were one of 10. When you heard Rangers players that were involved, you just knew that Jones was going to be involved, didn't you?
It's, Derek, I honestly don't know what to think. Everybody's been screaming out, get him in the team, get him in the team. He came in against Motherwell, had an excellent game, scored an excellent goal. And we thought, you know, finally, is that him going to break through into the team? And then it all went quiet again, didn't it? And there was always question marks there. And the one thing that I always thought to myself was, we all know he's a good player. We all know he's an experienced Premier League player. Why is he not getting a game? Why is the manager not playing him? There must be something happening in the background that we don't know about, we don't see. Or has it just been the fact that he's extremely reckless or whatever? But regardless, it was absolutely stupid thing to do. You know, there's no way that a player that plays for Rangers or two players that play for Rangers, regardless who they are not going to get recognised at a party and somebody's going to, you know, post a video of them. It's sheer stupidity. It has put their club mates at risk, the coaching staff at risk. It's put the club at risk of punishment. There's no excuses, Derek, whatsoever. And these guys, I'm sure, ever since it broke, that they will have been regretting it, or I certainly hope that they will be regretting it. But I, for one, wouldn't be surprised if we ever see any of them playing for Rangers ever again. Just an absolute act of stupidity by both of them.
Yep, I mean, I certainly don't want to see them in a Rangers shirt again. What's worse is that we are on the front foot. We have Celtic under pressure for the first time since coming back. We've been fantastic in Europe, top in the group as well. And all of that could have been undone if we had to forfeit games due to a COVID outbreak in the squad. Granted, the government have given us praise for our quick actions. The unwashed were completely apoplectic with rage over this and wanted us punished. The difference is our two players had no interaction with any other players. They were dealt with less than 12 hours after it happened. Celtic and Aberdeen players all trained and played together in their squads, and they've been hit and they were duly hit with a charge with it. The players themselves have been hit with an SFA charge. I don't think the club have, which is good as well. Ultimately, you can only expect they're going to get a 3 or 5 game ban with a couple suspended, because that's what the Aberdeen 8 and Ballingolly got as well, I believe. So you can't dish out different punishments for the same offence, basically. But that's the difference difference is, you know how the SFA are working with Rangers in terms of giving us nonsensical charges, and anything could have happened. They could have tried anything. So they could have put our season in complete risk, and hopefully this is a lesson to any other players in our squad, that if you're thinking about it, just don't. There's no point.
Exactly, yeah. Yep. Yeah.
So we've got to now cover the best part of the podcast is the games. So the first game was Thursday the 29th of October at home to Lech Poznan in the Europa League Game 2. And we ran out 1-0 winners. Five changes from the game we played against Livingston. So we lined up McGregor, Tavernier, Goldson, Balogun, Barisic, Kamara, Davis, Arfield, Hadji, Roof and Kent. On the subs bench, we had McLaughlin, Bassey, Hellander, Jack, Itten, Zungu, Patterson, Aribo, Morelos, Barker, Stewart and Barjonas. You know, because you're allowed to name, I think, 12 subs on the bench, aren't you, for Euro games?
That's right, yep.
Yeah, so the first half, quite a flat first half from both teams, to be honest. Not much action from either of us. It was very disciplined. I would say we were the better of the sides, having a lot of possession, working well with the ball, but the final third let us down. I think it was largely due to Poznan that were playing quite like a stuffy Premiership side, keeping it compact at the back, trying to hit us on the break. Our best chance came on the 25th minute. It was a long ball to Barisic on the left, who puts in an inch-perfect cross into the box, which finds the header Roof in the middle of the box. He heads it down to the ground. It bounces up in the same place, and he tries an overhead kick, but it was going wide, and it was eventually cleared. Poznan did have a couple of efforts as well, but it was either snuffed out by our defence or it was hit wide. Nothing that really caused us any concern anyway.
Yeah, as you say, Derek, first half, not a lot to write home about, but certainly, I would say, we were in control, weren't we? That's what I was expecting. We keep saying that the word, but a professional sort of first half, keeping it tight at the back, sort of sussing our opponents out, so really didn't know much about them. And as you say, in the first half, we weren't under any pressure, but we weren't really setting the heather on fire, but certainly the better of the two teams.
So I'm not going to do my normal run through the first half because we've got a lot to cover, but in the second half, on the 47th minute, it was a quick break by Poznan down the right. Cross put in across the goal. All it needed was a touch and it was in the back of net, so it was quite dangerous. 52nd minute, there's a free kick to Poznan on the left, played short away from goal, then back to the attacker, who whipped in a dangerous cross into the box and a glancing header went well wide. 59th minute, Arfield gathers the ball from 30 yards out with his back to goal, turns, takes the ball a couple of yards and hits a pile driver shot which goes wide of the left post, quite unlucky there. 62nd minute, Roof off and Morelos came on, and it only taken him 5 minutes and he scored a goal to equal McCoy's European record as well.
Yes.
Over the last 5 minutes, just since he came on, we were putting a lot of pressure on Poznan defence. They were looking a bit tired. We were probing in and around their box, got the ball out to the left wing. A lovely cross by Barisic into the centre of the box to find Morelos, got a lovely header from 6 yards into the back of net. Fantastic.
Great goal, Derek. Great move, great goal. Total striker's instincts there by Morelos, didn't he? You know, he could sniff that out. He just knew, you know, where to be, right place and right time, and another fantastic goal for Morelos there. He just loves playing in Europe for us, doesn't he? And again, to equal McCoy's record, fantastic achievement, and we were all just absolutely delighted for him. I put a tweet out just after he scored saying, you know, I think every single Rangers fan throughout the world was just absolutely delighted for him to score that goal to equal McCoy's record, and just for him to score, Derek, because he's been desperate for a goal, hasn't he? And it was just, you know, a bit of relief all round by everyone. But no, absolutely brilliant, great move, great goal, and a fantastic position to be in.
Yep, absolutely. During that, the celebrations, Hadji came off and Aribo on. 72nd minute, Morelos with a shot just outside the box on the right, forced the keeper into a decent save. 73rd minute, corner from the left from Poznan, right to the player at the far post. Managed to control it and get a shot off, but it went well wide. Poor defending and marking, mind you, from that. So certainly living dangerously on occasion, and you know they were still a threat. 76th minute, quick break up the park, starting on the left, switching to the right. Found Morelos in the corner on the right hand side of the box. He held it up, passed the overlapping Tavernier, who got a good cross off on the deck, found Aribo but was under pressure and put it wide. 79th minute, header in the box well wide by Poznan. 80th minute, Arfield and Kent off, Jack and Barker on. 85th minute, a lot of possession worked into the box, then out the box, all around the box, ending in Barker having a powerful shot, however it went well wide. And the last piece of play was on an 89th minute, a lot of urgency from Poznan, working the ball from the left corner out to the right side. wide, ended in a short bit well high and wide, and we rounded out the game 1-0 winners. So absolutely delighted with that. Very professional performance. You know, we snuffed out anything that Poznan really had to do. We lived dangerously on occasion, but as I said, it was nothing too uncomfortable for us.
No, definitely not, Derek. And the stats say it all. You know, three shots on target for us. You know, with 13 attempts, three on target, compared to Poznan, who had 10 attempts and zero shots and targets. So huge credit for the defence in the midfield there, you know, to keep them not even being able to get a shot at goal. Absolutely fantastic display. Again, Derek, another thoroughly professional display from Rangers in Europe against a very, you know, potentially dangerous team. You know, a lot of folk, I mean, they're not well known, I'll say that, but for the game that they had against Benfica the week before, we knew that they were going to come out all guns blazing. We had to try and neutralise that. Not only did we do that, but we controlled the vast majority of the game, Derek, and scored a fantastic goal. So you really can't ask much more, can you?
No, absolutely not. So, next game was Sunday the 1st of November. It was away to Kilmarnock in the Premiership, and we won 1-0 once again. So after a run of 3 2-0 games, I think we had, you know, 2 1-0 games, but I don't care how we get there, you know, we'll get the 3 points any which way we can.
Exactly, Derek. This is something that we've learned in the past few seasons, especially going away to Kilmarnock on that surface against them, is that, you know, you get your victory. It doesn't matter how you do it. If you come away with the 3 points, that's an excellent result. Do you know what I mean? So I'll let you get into the game, but a vital 3 points for us.
We made 5 changes from Poznan. We lined up McGregor, Tavernier, Goldson, Hellander, Barisic, Arfield, Jack, Aribo, Itten, Morelos and Kent. On the subs bench, we had McLaughlin, Bassey, Hadji, Defoe, Davis, Kamara, Barker, Roof and Balogun.
Derek, but before we start, now, as soon as I seen the lineup, the first thing that I'd been saying, or the night before, been speaking to people, and the first thing that I thought was, surely this is going to be a game for Jordan Jones against his old club on a surface that he knows, in a stadium that he knows, familiar surroundings, trying to battle his way back into the team. I thought, you know, before the story broke, that he would have been a stick-on to play in this game when he wasn't there at all. I think that's when we knew that there was something wrong, you know, at that point. I think I maybe texted you the same thing as well. And, you know, lo and behold, what we were discussing at the start of the pod happened. So I definitely think he could have had an opportunity there, you know, if he hadn't have gotten himself into the antics that he did, but just shows you that he could have been a valuable player for us, especially in games like this.
Yep. So we completely dominated the first half without getting out of second gear, really. Kilmarnock playing 10, sometimes 11 behind the ball and doing well to stifle our attacks. We needed to be more clinical up front as we're not putting their keeper under pressure. Shock horror, Kilmarnock actually got shots on target, which is unusual for opposition these days. Yeah. Comfortable takes for McGregor, though. Kilmarnock did start to get a wee bit more joy towards the end of the half, but nothing too much to worry about. So, first 10 minutes, it was all us, probing around a tight box. 12th minute, a lot of possession, knocked out to the edge of the box for Aribo, who had a first-time shot just over the bar. And in the 18th minute, penalty to us. It was a free kick from 25 yards on the left, a dummy from Tavernier, floated into the box. Goldson may have got ahead to it, but it hits off the outstretched hand of the defender, and in modern handball rules, penalty every day, wasn't it?
Yep, I would say so, Derek. There wasn't a lot of Kilmarnock players demonstrating, really. I think you could see quite clearly that it had struck his hand was out, so it was a penalty as soon as it happened. I was screaming for it. You know, that doesn't say much, right? I don't know if I would be screaming for anything like that, but no, to me, it definitely was a clear penalty.
Yep. So up steps Tavernier on the 18th minute and puts it to the left side with power. Bang, goal, 1-0. So, 21st minute, Arfield robs the defender of the ball in his own half after he tried to pass. Arfield takes the ball forward. He couldn't pass to Morelos as he had drifted offside. He took the ball on himself, had a shot from the edge of the box, and it was just over the left side of the bar. 24th minute, Barisic with a free kick on the left side of the edge of the box. Tried to shoot himself, but well wide. 26th minute, well-worked move with Goldson playing a lovely cross ball from right to left to Barisic. Passes to Kent, who plays the ball forward into the box. Morelos touches it onto Aribo, who got to the byline, puts in a cross and knocked out of play by the defender, but a goal kick was given inexplicably. 29th minute, a weak effort on target for Kilmarnock, right into the path of McGregor for an easy take. 33rd minute, corner from the left, whipped into the near post by Tavernier. Goldson gets a glancing header to it and goes wide of the far post. 50p, he'd considering that he was at the near post as well. 38th minute, long ball up from Goldson, deep in her half, right in at the centre of the box. Lovely awareness by Kent, who chests it down for Aribo, who hits a shot and it was deflected wide. 44th minute, Burke with a free kick, shot right at McGregor, and that was a comfortable save. So that's how the half rounded out.
Yes.
So into the second half, 50th minute, lovely ball through the defence from Aribo to Amarellis. Took the ball on, passed to the right, received the ball back on the edge of the box, but he was robbed of the ball and there was three players around him. 56th minute, Kent with a shot in the box, but a good save from the keeper. 57th minute, lovely play from Aribo, being aware and robbing the ball off the Killie player in midfield. Drives the ball forward to the edge of the box, but the ball was taken from him. Morella's drifted offside, so preventing passing to him. Kent was to the left, so he maybe could have passed to him, but maybe unsighted as well. Morellis, I don't know how many times he drifts offside and he prevents, you know, people passing to him. And when they do, you know, he's already drifted off. So it's maybe a wee bit of the game he needs to work on. 58th minute, good hold-up play by it near the edge of the box on the right. Gets a cross off, Morellis gets a touch, but the keeper aware and gathers the ball. 65th minute, Aribo off and Davis on. Disappointing, I felt, because he looked lively, perhaps given the pitch and not wanting to push him too much after he came back for his injury. So that might explain that.
Yep, I think that's exactly what it was, Derek.
Yep. 66th minute, long free kick towards our goal by Kilmarnock, headed up in the air by Hillander. Off the head of Kilmarnock attacker to the another one of their attackers who had a volley, but it was not far wide of the right post. 69th minute, corner from us not cleared. We picked possession back up on the left, probing, and then Davis floated a great cross into the back post, hitting with a lovely side-footed volley, saved by the diving keeper. Really unlucky, that one.
Yeah.
Arguably the best chance of the half.
Yep.
83rd minute, free kick from Kilmarnock right on the edge of the box. A thunderbolt through the gap of the wall and McGregor with a fantastic save. I think it was more to do with his positioning than actually than anything, that he didn't have to dive for it because he was right in the wee gap and exactly where he needed to be. 85th minute, Morellis off, Balogun on. 91st minute, a great take by Kent in midfield. Cuts inside, thinks about taking it on himself, plays it to the right to Itton on the right-hand side of the box, who has a first-time shot over the bar. And then the last piece of play, 93rd minute, Killy launched the ball forward, headed back by Goldson. Kent picks up the ball, takes it forward, plays it to Jack on the left side of the box, who has a shot and saved by the keeper. So maybe disappointing in terms of our front line. It was a very tight, compact defence we're up against. It's always a difficult place to play. I really don't care how we got the points, by hook or by crook, I don't care. We got the 3 points and that was the main thing, and arguably a hoodoo off our back now, because I think the stats over the last few years going there was pretty shocking, wasn't it?
Derek, I was absolutely over the moon with that result. You know, I was delighted with the game in midweek. I was even more delighted with that. And the reason that I was because we knew it was going to be a tough one. We had a very slender lead. And we know over the past few seasons, more than likely, we would have conceded a goal. But the big difference in this game is that the coaching, you know, the manager and the his coaching staff decided to tighten it up at the back, didn't they? They knew through past experience what could happen, you know, and they decided, you know, to make us a more defensive unit, especially for the latter part of the game. And I think that was the sensible thing to do. And to be honest with you, I haven't heard any Rangers fans out there criticising that at all, whereas in the past a lot of folk would have said, oh, for God's sake, a club like Rangers shouldn't be doing that and we should be going out to try and hammer these clubs. But things are changed now, Derek, and, you know, going with everything that has happened over the last few seasons, very sensible thing to do, shore it up completely, stop the threat altogether. And, you know, again, it's a thoroughly professional performance. You know, I don't know how many times I've said that word this season. I hope I say it every single podcast that we do for the rest of the season. I hope I'm saying it constantly, because it was exactly what we needed. It was a slender lead, but we defended very well and we came away with the 3 points. So absolutely delighted. And as you say, I wouldn't care how we scored the goal or who scored it, as long as we got the 3 points, and that's exactly what happened. So, no, absolutely delighted with that.
Yeah, and there was an added incentive as well, because Celtic were in last season's Scottish Cup duty, so it's, you know, granted they've got another game in hand, but it was a psychological advantage with Celtic not playing in that week. So, but anyway, we'll go into the next game now, and it's the first of our major goal-scoring games. But it was Thursday, the 5th of November, away to Benfica in the Europa League Group D Game 3, and we drew 3-3. Just a mental game all around, wasn't it? And as I've said, disappointing in the end. And I think we would have bit your hand.
Yes, that's what I was about to say, Derek. If you'd have went back after the Kilmarnock game and said, Dave, would you take a 3-3 draw? I would say, yes, definitely. 100% definitely take a 3-3 draw, right? So that is what we've got to really say to ourselves now. I know we're going to get into the game and go into it in depth, but I'll let you get into it, Derek. I'm sure everybody's got their own opinions and their own, you know, their own way of thinking about the game, but I'll let you get into it.
Well, before the game, the British ambassador to Portugal posted a video of himself playing every other Saturday on the piano prior to the game, and he put out a caption on Twitter saying, "Hey, Rangers fans, your team seems to be winning everything in sight. Congratulations." So,
yep,
so,
brilliant. Well,
bit good there. We've obviously got a wee reputation in Portugal lately. So we had two changes from the Killiwe game, and we lined up McGregor, Tavernier, Goldson, Hellander, Barisic, Jack, Davis, Kamara, Aribo, Kent and Morillas. On the subs bench we had McLaughlin, Bassey, Balogun, Hadji, Itten, Patterson, Arfield, Roof, Barker, Stewart, Barjonas and Dixon. Okay. I don't know who Dixon is. A youngster?
Yeah, it must be. Yep.
Yeah. So, Dave, it never really got off to a great start, did it?
No, it didn't, Derek. It got off to a hellish start, kind of sort of taking us off guard, didn't it? We've been so used to really top-quality defending by our players, and especially this man that you're about to get into, and something really uncharacteristic happened, Derek. I'll let you get into it.
Yep, so on the first minute, Benfica went 1-0 up with an OG from Goldson. The ball was flicked up in the air in our box. Indecision from Hellander led to him losing the ball and allows the attacker to nip in, drive it forward towards the touchline. Hellander was chasing him, but he was in no man's land. The ball was crossed in and it hits off the leg of Goldson into the back of the net. Goldson, you cannot fault him whatsoever. He stuck out his leg to try and clear it, and it deflected in. And it was just really pish poor from Hellander, really, wasn't it?
I watched it back, Derek, and I was like, this can't be this cool, calm and collected defender that we have here. You know, nothing seems to ruffle him. He's usually so precise, and I think it was more shock than anything else, but it was really, you know, abysmal defending by him. Let's no mix our words here, but just because we've not been used to him doing anything like that, I think we were more in shock than anything else.
10th minute was a quick break up the park by Benfica, got the ball on the left of the box, cut it back to the edge of the box to the on-running attacker, who wasn't picked up, had a couple of touches but shot well wide. And see, for the first, maybe after the goal, the next 17 minutes, it was looks as if it was going to be a very, very long night, and they were extreme quality. I mean, they had spent, I think, £100 million in the summer. Their team in overall was worth about £150 million. They are a quality side, and they were knocking it about well. They were being very quick. They weren't allowing us any time on the ball whatsoever, but they weren't doing really much with it in the final third. They were, you know, hitting a few shots, but they were well wide. We were snuffing out. And apart from that one mistake from Hellander, we were dealing with it fairly well. However, the turning point in the game, on the 18th minute, a red card for Benfica. A long ball from our defence going up to Kent. Got it, and Kent got in front of the defender, just in front of the goal. Kent controls it and was brought down from behind by Otamendi. A clear goal-scoring opportunity, so a clear red card and a free kick given from 25 yards from goal. No arguments about it whatsoever?
Not at all. And one of their highly rated player, you know, a guy that we all know for playing, you know, with Man City, international defender. So straight away we thought to ourselves, that's fantastic. They're going to have to try and play the match without him. Surely we can try and capitalise on this. And just before that happened, Derek, we were starting to come back into the game, and I thought, yeah, in particular, Ryan Kent looked really dangerous. You know, there was a couple of times the ball came to him, he managed to get past his man, and I thought, you know, we might get some luck here with Kent, because he was certainly looking in the mood, and, you know, that's what led to the, you know, the sending off.
Yep. 21st minute, Benfica make a defensive sub, taking off one of their attacking players and bringing on more defence-minded player. Certainly benefited us. And then over the next couple of minutes, it was smash and grab, wasn't it?
Yeah, it definitely was.
On the 23rd minute, we drew level with an OG, funnily enough. It was a throw-in on the near side, near the left of the Benfica goal. A good passer to play, ending in Davis feeding a lovely ball through to Tavernier on the right-hand side. He beats the offside trap, puts in a fast-paced cross on the deck, and the ball was kicked into the back of the net by the defender. See, if that was up the other end, it would have been a cracking goal.
I know. If that had been our striker that had put the goal in, the way that the defender put it into his own net, Derek, it would have been one, you know, an absolutely sensational goal. The whole move, the ball for Davis, as you say, to James Tavernier was absolutely tremendous. He found the space and just an inch perfect ball in there. And as I say, thankfully for us, the defender flashed out at it and it ended up blasting it into his net. So absolutely brilliant timing for us so early in the game, and, you know, gave us real hope after that.
Yeah. So less than a minute later, though, we went 2-1 up with Kamara scoring, and it was an absolute peach of a goal. It was a sweeping move, and I never caught the start of it, and I've not had time to go back and type up the notes for it. But ultimately, it started off in our touchline, on the goal line, and a sweeping, very quick move all the way up the down the right-hand side. That ended up the ball to Morelos on the right-hand side, a great cross in from the right, found Kamara on the left, just outside the box, who took the ball on himself, and unusually for him, he took the ball into the box and then hit a shot into the bottom left corner past the keeper. An outstanding goal, not only just for the actual finish, but for the whole entire move. That was an absolute thing of beauty, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a tremendous goal, Derek. As you say, the sweeping play right from our own half, passing and moving all the way, one-touch stuff. It was tremendous. Morelos right in the heart of it, Derek. And, you know, we've been talking about Morelos maybe not being the, you know, the potent attacking threat, but he has been going a bit deeper in his link-up play and his vision. You know, we need to talk about that because, you know, for his play, going down the wing, getting the 1-2, sprinting, and then that incredible pass straight to Kamara's feet on the edge, you know, the opposite wing on the edge of the box was simply sensational. And then the finish from a guy who's not known to score goals, Derek, it was absolutely fantastic. A great goal to put us into the lead, and dare I say, a goal that was worthy of winning any game. It was just absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. Superb. 30th minute, lovely play with Kent on the left. Barisic seemed to pull up and not make a run. Kent cut it back to Barisic, who played a superb first-time cross into the centre of the box for Aribo to header it just wide of the right post. Very unlucky that. Could have been an amazing, you know, 6 minutes. That.
Yeah.
Even more so than it was. 34th minute, Barisic on the left, cuts inside, takes a long-range effort, but well over the bar. I've got to applaud the effort, though. It's certainly something that we've not been doing often, is hitting long shots. And to round out the half, on the 39th minute, a good ball going forward by Benfica on the right, got past Hollander, who, and the attacker puts in a cross-come shot, and it was easily gathered by McGregor. So another kind of poor piece of play there by Hollander, but ultimately not came to nothing. So really a first half that had a bit of everything, a terrible start, a smash and grabs of 6 minutes, two OGs, a red card, and a very steely performance from us.
Yeah, and a fantastic goal, like we've just said. So all in all, going in at half time, absolutely delighted, Derek, and looking, you know, certainly the better of the two teams.
Absolutely. So I missed the first 5 minutes of the second half because the my stream had went down. So as I just came back up, I was trying to get I went on to Twitter to see. And inevitably, the streams are out of sync, and I spoiled the third goal for myself as well, because on the 50th minute, Morelos made it 3-1, and it was a record-breaking 22nd goal in Europe, beating McCoy's record as well. So Goldson in the Benfica half played a lovely pass to the right to find Tavernier in plenty of space, ran down the right, got near to the touchline, looked up, played a lovely cross to the back post to find Morelos, who was completely in space just for this simple tapping.
Yep, it was Tav at his best again, Derek. Great, great play. The ball, they find him in space, and as you say, it was an inch-perfect ball by Tavernier. He knew exactly where Morelos was, and a simple finish by him to then go on and break Ali McCoy's goal-scoring record in Europe for Rangers. Again, absolutely delighted. The scoreline was sensational at that point, Derek. We were playing some fantastic football, and you know, we were on cloud nine, weren't we? It was just great.
Yeah, it was amazing. As you said, some of the football we were playing was outstanding. Gerard said it was scintillating at times, which you know coming from him, then it certainly said something. But on, as you said, cloud nine. 53rd minute was a driving run from Benfica. Nobody putting a challenge in. He got to the 6-yard box and had a shot, but it went so wide that it actually went for a throw-in. I don't know what he was actually playing at there. It was a perfect chance for a goal ultimately, but you know, I've never seen somebody from the 6-yard box put a shot at goal for a throw-in before.
Yeah, definitely, right.
So maybe it goes to see that their temperament and the way they were playing, we were just completely on top and they were shot at that point.
Yep.
55th minute, good play getting the ball forward down the right. Great strength and hold-up play from Morelos, who passes to Tavernier, who had a shot from 25 yards, but it was an easy save for the keeper. 62nd minute, good pressure with Barisic on the left side in the Benfica half. Robs the ball off the defender, gets the ball to Morelos, who squares it to Jack on the edge of the box, who plays it forward to Kent. Kent shows strength, makes space and hits a shot, rebounds right off the post. Very, very unlucky there, and it should have been in, and it could have made it 4-1, and it would have been amazing at that point.
Totally. And dare I say it, Derek, has that maybe been the turning point of the game at that stage? Because at that point, that goal would have went in, that was it was game over. And I mean, we all thought it was game over because we were playing so well at this stage, didn't we? And we were like, oh, really unlucky there, that should have been 4. But there wasn't a single fan out there at that point who was concerned at that point, because we were playing so well, because we were getting so many attacking opportunities for Kent. I thought he was absolutely sensational in the game for us, and really unlucky that he didn't score. His movement and his pace, and as you say, that shot, really unlucky because it cannoned back off the post, didn't it? And it was just really, really unfortunate that we didn't score at that point. And as I say, I do think that was the turning point.
I think that probably was. Benfica made a couple of changes after that and more attack mind, and they obviously had to go for it being 3-1 down. 67th minute, good ball from Aribo from the right to the left to Kent, who tries a curling shot at the edge of the box but went wide. 69th minute, Aribo off and Arfield on. In the same minute, lovely link-up play with Tavernier and Arfield in the box. Tavernier gets fed the ball, beating the offside trap, but his touch was just too heavy and the keeper gets in there. And here's where it all started to go wrong, because in the 76th minute, Benfica pulled a goal back to make it 3-2. A quick free kick taken by Benfica caught our defence out. McGregor had to come well out of his box to put the defender off. The ball got forced wide. We lost possession on the left. Our defence was just too scared to put a tackle in. Benfica danced through our defence. Ridiculous attempt at defending from Hollander on the edge of the box. Ended up passing to their player when attempting to intercept it. The attacker got the ball past him. Hollander pushing him all the way, got to the touchline. McGregor dives at his feet. He loses out. The player managed to cut the ball into the centre of the box to find the unmarked attacker, who tapped it in. Just calamitous defending all round there. And really, I don't know what Hollander was doing once again by putting so timid passes in. McGregor, could he have stayed on his line and just waited to see what was happening?
Aye. Well,
possibly, but it should have never got to that stage in the first place.
No, it was as you say, Derek, you used the word calamity there. That's exactly what it was. It was, again, we're just not used to seeing that this season, aren't we? We're used to seeing assured defending, you know, either clearing it first time or strength in the box to win the ball back, especially from Hollander. We thought, you know, the one in the first half was just a one-off, but unfortunately he's had an absolute shocker in the game. And it's cost us. And as you say, I think that, you know, McGregor, if he hadn't been too rash and stayed on his line, he might have got it. But it wasn't to be, Derek. But still, 3-2 so late in the game, I was just saying to myself, right, let's get it shored up at the back. Let's not do anything stupid. Let's keep a hold of the ball and try and get the victory and see this game out. That's what I was saying and hoping that we would do.
I think every Rangers fan was hoping that, but I think Gerrard and the players had other ideas, didn't they?
And going back to the previous game, Derek, against Kilmarnock, where he did shore things up at the back and went for the slender victory, I was sure that that's what was going to happen and there would be a substitution, you know, to run the clock down slightly, another defender on, and just make it extremely hard so that when we get the ball, you know, we could keep a hold of it. But I just have absolutely no idea what they were thinking about.
No. 86 minute, Morelos was breaking through the middle, passes to Kent on the left-hand side. Kent gets into the box, holds it up. Morelos wanting the ball back, but Kent kept a hold of it, tried to feed it through to Morelos. It was eventually blocked, but deflected into the path of our own player, who got the ball to Morelos, who takes a touch, beats the defender, maybe a bit of fortune, but gets the ball and hits the shot just at the same time the keeper was coming out to meet the ball. So unlucky chance, but at this point, you know, when it's only one goal in it,
yes.
Benfica were pushing hard. We weren't getting as much joy at all on the ball. Why are we still pushing to try and get
exactly.
this fourth goal?
It was. I don't know if it was just before that, Derek. There was a passage of play between our defenders where they passed it to each other about four times.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, Benfica are allowing us to do that, so just keep doing it. It was simple. Keep a hold of the ball, pass it about back to the goalie, just pass it, make them do all the running and just make it really simple. But for some reason, they would get the ball and then they would, you know, fire this sort of World Cup pass out to, you know, Ken or Tav on the wings. And we were like, there was absolutely no need to do it. And as you say, so late in the game, it was just crying out for us to bring another defender on. And, you know, another sitting midfielder in there to try and calm things down a bit, but they didn't do it.
No. And then the inevitable happened on the 90th minute. Benfica drew level. I think it was the 92nd minute, maybe, actually.
Yeah.
But they drew level. Arfield, I don't know what he was doing. He lost out the ball. I think he tried a stupid pass, which got intercepted. Then a simple ball through the middle of our defence for the on-running attacker, got in between Goldson and Hylander, gets the ball into the box and slots it past McGregor. Again, absolute shambolic defending.
Yep.
And it
yep.
just drew my rage at this point because we've thrown away a two-goal lead.
Yep.
And I appreciate the quality of the opposition. I appreciate, you know, we would have taken a draw at the start of the game, but we had a go at Celtic and been happy about getting a draw when they played Lille after being two goals up a couple of weeks ago. We are Rangers, we shouldn't be accepting this when we've thrown away a lead, and I appreciate, you know, it's a looking back in it, it's still a fantastic result, but being in that position, especially against 10 men, not protecting our lead, doing the stupid game management thing of trying to go for the goals when we have been fantastic at soaking up a lot of pressure this season and we've been allowing teams to come at us and we've soaked everything up. Why did we not do that? We would effectively qualified that night, maybe needing one more point, depending on how the other results went in the group, but we blew it.
It was just, it was criminal defending, Derek, in all three counts. That for me is the most frustrating thing. It was three absolute calamitous goals. Even the last one, as you say, you know, Arfield losing the ball in midfield, and then that simple pass through the two defenders, and you know their striker basically, you know, just sprinting through both of them and slotting the ball underneath McGregor. It was just poor, poor defending. And we've just not been used to seeing that this season. We have been used to seeing, you know, absolutely assured defending in there, taking no risks, you know, cool, calm and collective defending. And it was criminal. It was criminal defending, Derek. We had a fantastic 2-0 lead. It should have been 3, even 4, because if that game had finished 5-1, Derek, it wouldn't have been a fluke because they had played so well in the game. And as you say, just sick at that point, weren't we? We were just absolutely gutted. It didn't seem like we'd got a draw. It seemed like a defeat at the time, didn't it? And it was just, you know, just a total letdown at that point. As I say, I'm more calm and I've been thinking about it, but it was just a great opportunity, Derek, that we've blown. And I just hope, touch wood, that that's the only time that we're in that position again this season. We managed to capitalise if we get into a good position like that, because it was just criminal. I keep saying it, but it was.
Yeah. Would we have got the same amount of joy out of the game if it had stayed 11v11? I'm not sure we would have, to be honest, because the way they were playing, as much as they were doing very little in the final third with it, they were all over us, and it was the first time I've seen this season, apart from the Leverkusen game, where we were kind of quite bossed, getting bossed about the place.
It's a hypothetical question, Derek. Yeah. You know, you hear a lot of people saying that teams play better when they've got 10 men. They're harder to break down when they've got 10 men. Teams emphasise in their defence a hell of a lot more than they do attacking-wise. So I honestly don't know. They're a top, top quality team. I think somebody told me they were something like the fourth highest spenders in Europe this season with the players that they had brought in. So, you know, they're a fantastic team. And we completely outplayed them for huge parts of that game and really should have had the game. As I say, the Kent goal, the Aribo header in the first half, you know, all these chances, we really should have went away with there with the 3 points. But unfortunately, it didn't happen. It was quite naive, I think. The managerial staff have got to take some part in the blame as well, because if every Rangers fan out there could see the fact that we didn't need to keep attacking at one point and we just needed to keep a hold of the ball, surely they saw that as well. And I would just love to know what they were talking about at that stage, because we were all screaming just to get another defender on there, make a sub, run the clock down, get them, just tell them to keep a hold of the ball, and it didn't happen. So It was puzzling as well, Derek, wasn't it? It was disappointing in the end that we didn't get the 3 points.
Yeah. So we'll move now on to the big game here, which is Sunday the 8th of November, an 8-0 win at home to Hamilton. Just mental, wasn't it?
I think we were all expecting a reaction, Derek. I said before the game that I would have taken, I'm going to say it again, another professional performance. As long as we won the game, we got a clean sheet, I said I would have been happy. You know, with 2-0 even, I'd have been quite happy as long as we completely controlled the game. But no way did I think that we were going to get as many goals as we did. And it's refreshing to see, and great for the team, and, you know, considering the amount of changes that he made to the team, it's absolutely fantastic for us.
Yeah, absolutely. So it was 5 changes from the Benfica game, and as what was highlighted on RTV is the fact that we're so comfortable making these big changes and starting lineups by not just maybe one or two players, we're making 5 changes at a time most of the time, and the players that we're bringing in and the players that are coming out, they just seem to slot in seamlessly.
Yep.
Because we're playing the same system, different personnel, same system, and everybody knows their role, and it's an absolute joy to watch. It's the way it should be done, I think, and we're proving that, I think.
It's as you say, Derek, the strength and depth that we've got on the bench now, that is the difference for the team this season than it has been over the past couple of seasons. We now have probably, I was thinking about it one night, the amount of players that we've got, and we actually have got 3 teams worth of players, Derek. And when I say 3 teams, I'm not talking about a sort of reserve team. We could put out a third string team in the Premier League in Scotland, and I would be expecting us to beat about 80% of the teams in there. That's how strong a team that, you know, a squad that we have now. That's the difference. And for the manager to be able to bring in these guys all desperate and hungry to play, it's just great. And, you know, the reaction that we saw on Sunday was, you know, exactly that. It was great. They were desperate to get in the ball. They were desperate to score goals. And it was relentless, Derek. That's what I've been looking for. I've been looking for a ruthless, relentless Rangers team, a team that's not going to take their foot off the gas and really just keep trying to punish teams. And that's exactly what happened in the game on Sunday. I'll let you get into it now.
Yeah, I'm not going to go through every single point. I'm just going to cover the goals. But you kind of summed it up there. It was an absolutely devastating first half. As you said, relentless, going for the jugular from the off. Never gave Hamilton a sniff. McLaughlin could have got the deck chair out again. It was just an outstanding performance all round. First goal was on the 15th minute with Arfield making it 1-0. A mistake from the Hamilton player in their half near the halfway line where he stood in the ball and he lost possession. Very alert Defoe nicks the ball off him, quickly turns and plays a lovely through ball to Kent who was running down the left. He took the ball about 10-15 yards, got the ball into the box, squared it to the middle and Arfield with a simple hit past the keeper. Boom. Brilliant.
Yep, great goal, fantastic finish by Arfield there, wasn't it? And as you say, it was good by us sort of forcing the mistake and capitalising on it straight away, Derek. That's what I think the manager's really been looking for in his midfield especially, so great start.
Yep. 2 minutes later, though, we made it 2-0 with Roof scoring. Lots of possession ending in Tavernier getting the ball on the right. A superb long cross to the back post that finds the head of Roof, who nods it into the back of net. What a delivery and what a header.
Yeah, fantastic play again by Tav. And Roof, again, just looking, you know, he doesn't look the biggest and sort of most powerful guy, Derek, but he certainly knows where the goal is, and that was a great header down and away for the goalkeeper, you know, absolutely fantastic. And for there, we were saying 2-0, we can relax now, we've got two early goals, but I'm glad we didn't.
No, because 2 minutes after that, we went 3-0 up with Aribo scoring. A quick incisive break up the park with Arfield feeding the ball through to Aribo on the right-hand side of the box, who has a shot towards goal. It was deflected off the legs of the defender and into the back of net. Maybe a bit of fortune, but we've been saying this for so often, if you get a shot, just hit a shot. Yeah,
exactly. And anything can happen, and that's exactly what it was. So people can say it was a fluke, but he went for the shot at goal, Derek. It ended up in the back of the net. That's what we're looking for, and fantastic. 3-0 up so early on in the game, just tremendous.
Yep. And we never stopped there, because in the 35th minute we went 4-0 up with Aribo getting the second of the game. Quick break down the right, an outstanding long cross into the back post by Tavernier. It took a bounce. Roof couldn't take a shot first time. However, he controlled it, turned, looked up, found Aribo with a pass, who was running into the box and hit a first-time shot. It was rising into the back of the net, but it was helped on with a wee deflection again. Again, maybe another bit of fortune, but as I said, take the shot, and this is what happens.
Exactly, excellent. Just like his first goal, Derek. You know, great shot, ends up in the back of the net. So absolutely brilliant.
Yeah. So even throughout, you know, scoring 3-0 up, 4-0 up, we just did not stop at all. And that was so pleasing to see. And we've said that for a long time, somebody was going to get absolutely hammered. And that game, what was it? Because we were just, as you said before, relentless. Into the second half, kind of, it was a good thing, make a couple of substitutions. Yeah. People needed a bit of rest time. People needed a bit more game time. So Barisic and Jack came off, Bassey and Zungu came on, and Zungu getting his debut as well. Yeah. And I'm glad he did, because he looks an absolute player, doesn't he?
He really does, Derek. I'm going to go back to him at the end of the game just to do a wee comparison, just to see if you agree with me or not. But I'll let you get in to the second half. But as you say, it rested a few players, but it allowed players who were desperate to get on, because they could sense that we were going to get more goals and put in an excellent performance. So it's just great to see.
We didn't need to wait long for the next goal, because on the 53rd minute, Roof made it 5-0. Kent on the left-hand side of the box cuts it back, plays a fantastic cross into the back post to find Defoe. The defender jumps in, hits off the post, hits off Defoe, back into the middle of the box to find Roof with a fairly simple tap-in.
Yeah.
You know, Defoe, he was really, really desperate for a goal. You could see that. He was just so unlucky in this game. And I'll get into another bit with him shortly. But just unlucky there from him. But, you know, great from Roof being aware and you know, deadly and poacher-esque almost.
Certainly was, Derek. Aye, it's in the right place at the right time. You'd be expecting Defoe to be scoring a goal like that, but it was Roof today, and as you say, 5-0 on absolute easy streak, and you could just sense, you know, with the way that the Hamilton players' heads were going down, that if we kept on going, we could certainly score a hell of a lot more, and thankfully we did.
Yep. 57th minute, Kent off and Barker on, so good. As much as Kent's not been scoring, he's been doing a hell of a lot of work.
He's been excellent, yeah. He's been brilliant, Derek.
He's been instrumental in a lot of the plays and goals we've had. 60th minute, this was bizarre, this. A piece of play with Aribo ending up in the box with the ball, and I counted at least six, maybe seven Hamilton players around him in the box.
The guy, for such a big guy, Derek, the skill that he possesses is unbelievable. The close control is unreal. And as you say, we've seen him, you know, skip past players and take on a few players, but they just could not get near him, could they? And it was actually quite frightening to watch how good he was, and the control he had was just incredible.
Yep. And we didn't need to wait long for Barker to make an impact, because 4 minutes after coming on the 61st minute, he made it 6-0. Quick move down the left with Bassey, squares it to Defoe on the edge of the box, into the centre. A lovely first touch to control and wrong foot the defender. Slides the ball to the right to the on-running Barker, who coolly strikes it under the legs of the defender and into the back of the net. Just another great goal all round.
Yep, it really was. He sensed the, you know, he went for it, Derek. He could see he had a chance. He's, you know, no shy, desperate to get on the act, and absolutely brilliant that he was. Great stuff, absolutely brilliant.
Yep, and then on the 63rd minute, the three words you love to hear, penalty to Rangers. Defoe was brought down in the box after Roof plays a good pass to him into the box. Clear as you like, no complaints whatsoever. And, you know, the great unwashed were complaining again about, oh, there's the Huns getting a penalty again. Know that they actually, well, I was going to say, know that they watch the game, but clearly they do watch the game.
Of course they do.
And for them to say that that's not a penalty, it's a... You know, it's typical of them, isn't it? But yeah. Anyway, really disappointing again for Defoe, because you could see him, he was actually gesticulating, me, can I take it? And Tavernier pulled rank and said, no, I'm taking it. So up steps Tavernier, a cool penalty down the middle. And then we didn't need to wait any much longer for the 8th goal and the final goal of the game on the 68th minute. Tavernier made it 8-0. Lovely worked move from the left. I think Hadji was on at this point. He worked the ball from the right, with Tavernier ended up flicking it to the right towards Roof. Roof got a shot off and a good save from the keeper, but spilled right into the path of Tavernier, and with a poacher's instinct, he had kept on running into the box and he slots it past the defenders and the keeper. Just brilliant all round.
Great finish, Derek. And at that stage, we had three players all going for their hat trick, which, you know, you don't hear a lot these days. So, you know, absolutely tremendous.
Yeah. Shortly after, Arfield off and Itton on, and that's really how the game ended up. We were still going for it. Even at 6-0, there was a point when you seen the players and even Gerrard were like, just push up, just keep going for it. You know, it's these type of things. I know there's bizarrely a lot of love for Brian Rice and Hamilton. You don't mind them, but I don't care. They're just opposition. I don't care how nice he is. Football's not a nice game sometimes. I don't care who it is. We've done the job emphatically, and that's the way it should be.
It's just a pity that it wasn't Dundee United or Aberdeen or indeed Celtic, Derek, but never mind.
Yes. So an incredible victory there. I'm disappointed it wasn't 10. You know, there's certainly grounds to sack Gerrard for the fact that it wasn't 10 goals there. I say in jest, of course, before anyone says.
Yeah.
But in the table, we have played 14, won 12, drawn 2, lost 0, scored 37, conceded 3, goal difference plus 34, and on 38 points. 9 ahead of Celtic, they've got 2 games in hand, but we've got a 13 better goal difference. 12 ahead of Aberdeen, they've got 2 games in hand, and 14 ahead of Hibs. In the Europa League, we have played 3, we're joint top just now. We've played 3, won 2, drawn 1, lost 0, scored 6, conceded 3, goal difference plus 3, and on 7 points with Benfica as well. Lech Poznan beat Standard Liège, so hopefully Standard Liège, you know, get a win against Poznan in the return leg in a couple of weeks' time, and we get the victory that we need. Ultimately, we get another 3 points, and it's effectively over. I think it really kind of depends again on what the Poznan result is as well, mind you. So we'll need to wait and see. But you know, going into this next international break, an extremely good run of form. You know, that's 5 victories and a draw. We were 90 seconds away from an absolute perfect run of 6 games there. So slightly disappointing that way, but you can't ask for much more from the team.
No, definitely not, Derek. I mean, again, if we'd have went back to the start of the season and shown the position that we were in, we would have done anything to be in that position, Derek. So, you know, sensational stuff. One disappointing result against Benfica, and we didn't get beat Derek, that's, you know, another way of looking at it. So absolutely tremendous. Going back over the games, Derek, we brushed over it, but a tremendous achievement from Alfredo Morelos to beat McCoist's goal scoring record, you know, in Europe for Rangers. I've got a list of all the teams that he's scored against, and it's, you know, teams like Rapid Vienna, Legia Warsaw, Young Boys, Porto, Feyenoord, and then, of course, Benfica, to name, you know, there's a lot more that he's done. So an incredible achievement. And then also, to give a quick mention to our newest player, Zungu, who came into the game. I realise playing against Hamilton Accies and being so dominant against them, it's maybe not the strongest opposition, you know, for him to play against. But the one thing that really impressed me about him, Derek, was he came in straight into the team and he was demanding the ball from the defenders and moving it forward himself, you know, spreading the ball about all over the park. And we've not had a player like that, Derek. And I had a wee Twitter conversation today with regards to him, and I'm not saying he's anywhere near the standard, but just the sort of style of player that he was and what he did, it reminded me very much of what Barry Ferguson used to do for us, where he used to come back into the defence and take the ball out himself rather than just sort of launching it forward. He was, you know, conducting the play. And, you know, if we get a player that plays as well for us as what Barry Ferguson did, or even, you know, a fraction, you know, he'll be an absolute star. So certainly things are looking great, you know, at that point, Derek. And it's just a pity that the international break is coming at this stage, isn't it? Because we've got so many guys desperate to play for the club. And as I say, I keep repeating myself, but that's the big difference for this season that we've not had over the last few seasons, is that strength and depth in the squad. It's just fantastic.
I think it's a disappointing. We've got the internationals coming up, but at the same time, it's been a relentless, you know, six games. You know, it's been Thursday, Sunday. You need time to recharge. I think Tavernier said he's going to put his feet up for these couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And well, certainly well deserved, because he's been immense throughout this. And we've got another important run of games as well, because on Sunday the 22nd of November, we're at home to Aberdeen in the Premiership. That's a 12 o'clock midday kickoff. Thursday the 26th of November at home to Benfica, that's a 8 o'clock kickoff. Thursday the 3rd of December at home to Standard Liège, that's another 8 o'clock kickoff. There's obviously a gap there. We're not playing that weekend, I think, or certainly not yet, because there's I don't know, it might be cup games. I don't know why we're
possibly
not.
Yeah.
Sunday the 6th of December, away to Ross County in the Premiership. That's a midday kickoff. And to round out game 6 of the Europa League, that's Thursday the 10th of December, away to Poznan, and that's a 17:55 kickoff. So certainly, hopefully, we'll have qualified by that point, but it really just depends on Poznan result against Liège. Certainly that is a good thing. So if it does go down to the final game, you would probably expect that it's Poznan that are going to be the deciding factor there, given the fact that they beat Liège. So it's good that it would be in our own hands, effectively.
Exactly,
then. So,
yes. Definitely.
So certainly interesting games to come, and we've had a great run of results there. Let's hope it continues.
Yeah, definitely, Derek. And here's hoping that, you know, all the players that are on international duties come back safe and fit and hungry to play. So that's, you know, what we can hope for over the international break.
Absolutely. So it's now time to go into the classic match.
And there it is. The final whistle's gone. Rangers have won the European Cup Winners' Cup.
So, Dave, what have you got for us this time?
Yes, Derek, going back onto my Rangers TV, the archive games, which have been fantastic for me, Derek, when I'm doing the classic match. I've been absolutely spoiled for games to cover, and the one that I'm about to cover as well was taking me back to a fantastic era in the club's history. So the game, Derek, took place on the 13th of December 2000. The game was at Ibrox and we were taking on Aberdeen. Referee for the game was the famous Hugh Dallas, and Rangers in this game lined up the first 11 of Stephen Klaus, Arthur Newman, Scott Wilson, Bert Conterman, Fernando Rixon. So the defence there, Wilson and Conterman at the back, there wasn't any sort of usual mainstay defenders, because you know, we went back to thinking about Big Bert. He was actually more of an effective defending midfielder for us than he was a defender. But playing in centre defence on this day in midfield, though, absolutely sensational. Ronald De Boer, Barry Ferguson, Claudio Reyna, and Neil McCann in midfield for Rangers, and a very young Kenny Miller and Michael Malls up front for Rangers, on the subs bench for Rangers, who came on later on, George Alberts and Billy Dodds. So very strong players to come on for the Rangers team. Probably we haven't had as strong a squad, Derek, to be honest with you, you know, that we have now, you know, going back to these days, which is really encouraging. But the Aberdeen team on the day: Essen, McAllister, Maguire, McNaughton, Solberg, Gunvite, Rowson, Clark, Stavrum, Robbie Winters and Darren Young. So Rangers started off with an early chance. Kenny Miller races down the right wing and puts in a dangerous cross, cleared at the last minute by the Aberdeen defence. That was about the first attack of the game. And then not long after that, Michael Malls wins the ball in midfield and plays a fantastic through ball to his fellow Dutchman, Ronald De Boer, who races between the two defenders. He's just about to unleash a shot, but the defender got a last ditch tackle in and put the ball out for the corner. So really unlucky there. And then almost the breakthrough for Rangers, although a bizarre one: Arthur Newman to Michael Malls, who had his back to goal. He sort of twists and turns and then plays a through ball to Kenny Miller. Aberdeen defender comes in and clears it, but it deflects off of Kenny Miller and just goes wide and cleared by the Aberdeen defence. So it's almost a goal by Kenny Miller there, and knew absolutely nothing about it. Then Neil McCann, he wins the ball on the left-hand side and dinks in a fantastic cross to Kenny Miller. He's in the box, but a poor touch safely into the hands of the goalkeeper. So all these chances for Rangers, and it wasn't even the 10th minute. So Rangers really on the front foot. But then, against the run of play on the 11th minute, Aberdeen actually scored.
Oh, it's such a good one, it's in! Aberdeen has scored! And it is the man I mentioned right at the start. Stavrum gets in there as the Rangers' defence look absolutely flat. Aberdeen have gone one up their first real attack at goal. And he was there just to poke it over. No cover here. Newman missing that very badly indeed. And Rangers are one behind.
It was a corner, it was low, everybody completely missed it. Poor defending by Rangers, and Stavrum pokes it in past Stefan Kloss and goals to make it 1-0 to Aberdeen. So really, as I say, against the run of play. Just after that, though, a great chance to equalise at Claudio Reyna. He had a scuff shot past the post after a 1-2 in the edge of the box. Really, she should have scored there. Then Aberdeen starting to get into the game slightly. They put in two dangerous crosses, one after the other, but thankfully cleared away by the Rangers defence. Rangers did have the majority of the ball, but the final ball was poor. But thankfully, on the 26th minute, Rangers got the equaliser.
Almost in, and the goalkeeper getting a touch. It's a goal. Finished off there. Ball's got it in, an untidy goal. The goalkeeper was under pressure, but Rangers are back in level terms. And you have to ask yourself, could they not have kept this ball out? It hovered so long in the air here. Three men up for it, the goalkeeper blunders. Totally the blunder of Ryan Essen gives Rangers a little bit of leeway again as their supporters, but beginning to get slightly miffed, to say the least.
A wee bit of a fortunate goal. The corner was in. The keeper grabbed the ball in midair, drops it straight at the feet to Michael Malls, and he had the easiest of goals to tap it in to make it 1-1. A bit of a nightmare there for the goalkeeper. And then really should have scored again. Barry Ferguson on the left-hand side of the box. He crosses into Ronald De Boer. He puts it back to Michael Malls right in front of goal, and he hits an absolute thunderous shot, but a bit too high, and it crashes off the bar, back out and cleared away by the Aberdeen defence. Then Aberdeen really should have been down to 10 men after De Boer was from half to the Aberdeen defender, just about the halfway line. It was a sort of mid-air tackle, both feet off the ground. The referee didn't even give a yellow card. Really surprising there. Then a chance for Aberdeen. Robbie Winters races down the right wing. He puts a cross into Darren Young, who shoots from the edge of the box. But a great tackle from Fernando Rixon. Absolutely tremendous. Deflects the shot out, which was heading for the goal, and it goes out for a throw-in. So a fantastic defending there by Rixon. Then the referee blew half-time whistle. You know, lots of missed chances for Rangers, but two poor goals, really, from both sides that were, made the score 1-1. Rangers management team at that stage really weren't happy, with the way that Rangers were playing, and it was Ronald De Boer and Kenny Miller who were sacrificed at half-time for George Alberts and Billy Dodds, who came on, and they too, it proved to be two inspired substitutions later on. But getting back into the second half, Neil McCann, his first with a chance across into the box, appeared to hit the hand of the Aberdeen defender, nothing given. The ball come back out, and then there was another handball in the box, this time judge off here, George Albert's corner. Bert Conterman with poor control, he sort of had his foot up sort of mid-air to try and control the ball, but the ball sort of flicked and scuffs the hand of the Aberdeen defender. It certainly looked as if he had it out, but the referee did not give the penalty and the score stayed 1-1. But then, thankfully, on the 59th minute, Rangers took the lead.
Goes towards Moles. There it is! With an instinct for the net, touching it away as it came to him, gliding it away from the goalkeeper, who from that angle did very well to get a touch. Rangers are 2-1 up after 14 minutes of the second half.
Fernando Rixon with a long throw-in into the box. It was headed out by the Aberdeen defence, only as far as Barry Ferguson in the edge of the box. He tries to hit the ball on the volley or the half volley, but he hits the ball down into the ground. It bounces over the Aberdeen defenders, and who's there but Billy Dodds to guide the ball past Essen into the goal. Real poacher's goal there for Billy Dodds, and Rangers finally have the lead. At this point, the rain's absolutely lashing down. We've been used to that recently. And then a dangerous cross in from the right, from Aberdeen. Robbie Winters' head's just wide. Really, really unlucky there for Aberdeen, and Rangers living dangerously. And then a great chance for Michael Moggs after Rangers win the ball on the right wing. The ball played into Moggs, who shrugs off two defenders and blasts a shot. It comes back off the post and cleared away. It would have been a sensational goal for Moggs, but wasn't to be. And then another chance for Billy Dodds, across into the box by McCann to Dodds, who sort of lashes a shot just over the bar. He really should have scored for that. You know, it wasn't far out at all, but it wasn't to be. It was all Rangers at this point, really going for it, looking for the third goal. And finally, the third goal did come on the 88th minute.
Augustin going for it. Might get it this time, he does. Here's Billy Dodds. He's through. Here's Alberts. Yes! That does it. You can see it coming as a big German who's not imprinted his personality game tonight, decided right at the end to come up on it and take the net away. 3-1 Rangers, and that's that. Good effort here by Dodds to try and get it back into the German, and he accepted that. Nice little seasonal gift to the German to put it away.
George Alberts wins the ball in his own half. He ranges, he races upfield to Billy Dodds on the right wing. Billy Dodds hits a low hard cross to the penalty spot, finds Moles, who flicks it back to George Alberts, who continued his run, and he hits a thunderous shot into the back of the net. An absolutely sensational goal by George Alberts. And like I said, two inspired substitutions there from the Rangers management team. It was a fantastic goal to watch. And then right at the end of the game, Michael Moles, a final chance, he sort of attacks them at pace. He puts the ball out to Barry Ferguson. Barry Ferguson into the net, but he hits a soft shot into the goalkeeper's hands and easily gathered by him. But Rangers eventually see out the game by 3-1. An excellent game to go back and watch. It was there's some gilt-edged chances missed, a couple of dodgy goals, should have been a couple of red cards, a couple of penalties. It wasn't to be. And then topped off at the end by an absolutely sensational goal by George Alberts. So, again, if you get the chance to go back and watch it, please do. I thoroughly enjoyed watching it, as I have been when, you know, the vast majority of these Rangers archive games. It's just, it's brilliant and a great place to access them as well. So, absolutely brilliant.
Yes, absolutely fantastic game again, and what a goal by Alberts at the end there. And another thing as well is, you know, anyone but Celtic, as ever, with the penalties, with the handballs, they keep saying
exactly.
That it is anyone but them, but we don't get them either. So
exactly, Derek, and as I say, even at our very successful stage, and that was one of them, we had a lot of dubious decisions against us as well, so I didn't buy any of that garbage at all.
No, I did manage to get some sound clips of it, but the sound quality is really bad for it. It keeps going in and out, so I'll see if I can tart it up a wee bit and see if it makes it sound
tart
a wee
it
bit tart it off, right? But Dave will have another classic match for us the next time.
Yes.
So we'll go into the news. As ever, bits and pieces to cover here. The first thing here, Castor have launched a retro top. It's plain blue with a white collar, Rangers badge on the heart, and no sponsor, similar to our Tenants one we had in 2010. Apparently it's going to be used for select games, so presumably cup games.
Absolutely love it, Derek.
The big kicker, though, is £68 and the shorts are £35. So I question the timing of it, given it's our 150th anniversary next year. So to me, it just kind of looks like a bit of a cash grab.
Possibly, but I love it. And I'm definitely going to get it. That's a must for me. I said to you before, Derek, I'm not a huge fan of our home strip at the moment. I don't like the sponsor, the way that it looks, and I think it's very, very similar to the strip that we had last year, just the way that it's outlined. I know there's not much that you can do with a royal blue strip, but I just like the simplicity of this one, the white collar with the white V-neck, and I love the way that Castor have actually, you know, stitched the Castor sign in to make it the same colour as the strip as well. I just think it looks absolute class, especially for us old guys who maybe a wee bit too old to be wearing replica tops these days, Derek. That's just the perfect thing, and as I say, I definitely want one. I think it's great. Very pricey though, as you said, Derek, that's the only downside, but I do absolutely love it, and I'm really looking forward to seeing the team wearing it as well. I think it looks really classy.
Yeah, it's interesting. If we are going to be wearing it in cups, I don't know, you have to pre-register the strips that you're going to be wearing, so I don't know if that's slightly different for the cup games, but it's interesting that obviously we'll be wearing them without sponsors. So again, presumably the fact that they've already agreed these deals with the sponsors that we've got to say that
possibly
we're not going to be having, so interesting anyway.
Yep.
Speaking of Castor, media reports that they're close to announcing a deal with Newcastle, however Heart and Hand say it's not confirmed and they're only one of a number of clubs that they're looking at. I'm kind of not sure why some Rangers fans are up in arms about it. I get that it's still, you know, Mike Ashley, but as long as we've got potentially built-in clauses that prevent anything happening with our deal if they were to be taken over by Mike Ashley or something like that, or clauses to make sure that we've got nothing to do with Ashley, then it's absolutely fine. Castore are a commercial outfit. They will seek to do deals on themselves out with us, much like Nike do, much like Adidas do. I mean, how many clubs do Nike and Adidas, you know, do strips for? Mike Ashley wants out of Newcastle. It's been quite clear that he's still there just now, granted, but you know, this is one of these things where some Rangers fans need to take a step back and think about it's not just all about us sometimes. The Castore are a commercial outfit. They will do what's beneficial to them as well, as you would expect them to do. So we'll just need to wait and see how that one pans out.
I think it's just the panic, Derek, isn't it? As soon as they're linked with anything to do with Mike Ashley, you know, whether it's legitimate or not, I think there's always that wee sort of panic in there. That's the effect that man has had on our club. We want nothing to do with them in any way, shape or form. And then as soon as there's anything linked, if it had been any other club, Derek, we wouldn't have batted an eyelid, would we? Or, you know, the fans wouldn't have batted an eyelid. But because it is Newcastle, and because that's his club, you know, there's a wee bit of panic set in there. So, as you say, I think we just need to sort of calm down a wee bit. It's, you know, it would be the same for any company. And I think, you know, Castore know tens of thousands of potential shirts and strips that they could sell because it being Newcastle. You know, of course they're going to try and get in there if there's a, you know, a club like that. And I think that Rangers were a huge test for them, you know, with the number of tops and that they've got out, and it's a, you know, a real feather in their cap to say that they've got, you know, a club like Rangers that they're doing the shirts. So that's what they're going to try and do, but I think everybody just needs to calm down a wee bit.
Yeah, the thing about it is, I know they want to try and branch into other clubs, especially Premiership clubs, but yeah, they are not going to do the same numbers, because they're certainly not going to get, you know, a Manchester City or a Man United or a Chelsea. But they're probably the only clubs that you maybe do the numbers worldwide.
Yes,
there's going to be no club in the world, unless it's them or Barcelona, which they're never going to get, that will do the same numbers as what they've done with us. So
yeah,
they've maybe peaked too early, as it were. We've announced a partnership with Glasgow Airport. Our brand will feature in the arrival and departure areas, as well as Glasgow Airport brand and feature in Ibrox. So an incredible bit of business there, an incredible bit of exposure. And as someone on Twitter put it, Celtic have a shop in an airport, we own the airport.
And again, Derek, a great opportunity for retail as well, and to make a lot of money, because as you say, they've got the deal there, the sky, and that's no pun intended, but the sky is the limit there with the airport, isn't it? We should be hitting, you know, any, and I know that the world's a strange place now, and there's not as much traffic coming in and out, but eventually when things get back to, you know, a more normal, and you know, there's we're getting, you know, thousands and thousands of people coming in from countries all over the world, to think that that could be the first thing that they see when they arrive, is to see the Rangers badge and, you know, things to do with our club. Absolutely sensational, and they should be getting in there and trying to cash in on it as quickly, you know, as much as possible. So absolutely brilliant, and about time that we were represented in the airport again, because it used to be great to go and just even to see the wee shop there, Derek. Was it any time you were going away, you would usually always buy something when you were going away, whether it was a t-shirt or no. But as you say, for them to have the, you know, the partnership with the, you know, the entire airport's just absolutely brilliant. Great stuff. It shows you how far that we're, you know, we've came in such a short time.
I think the thing is as well, the shops at the airport have been traditional loss leaders, and they've just done it for exposure purposes. However, when we're doing so well in Europe, we are frightening other teams in Europe as well, and when you've got a manager who is a worldwide name,
yes,
that's great brand exposure as well, which will hopefully drive more revenue out of the shops.
Definitely.
Even if it's just a break-even sort of stage, then it's doing its job, because it's expanding the network we've got there. On the same day of the Glasgow Airport announcement, we announced a partnership with Cadbury to become our official snacking partner for the 2021 season.
I know what you're going to say here.
So, Celtic fans completely slagging it, saying that they've always liked Galaxy better anyway, only for Celtic the next day to announce a very similar deal with Cadbury.
Aye, so there you go.
Beautiful. 19 million more shares have been issued, raising another £4 million in cash, so it's unclear who has made the investments, yeah, but only a good thing can come of that, surely.
Definitely, Derek, and it's, you know, that's it's not just been this month. You know, I was looking through a few things, and we've sold a lot of shares over the past few months as well. So if these are new investors, Derek, that's absolutely fantastic news. And, you know, as I say, it was kept quite quiet, wasn't it? There was no, you know, major thing announced or anything like that. You know, it was all kept quite sort of low key. That's, you know, the way that we want it. And as I say, if this is, you know, new investors coming in, like we were told not too long ago, it's just fantastic. Things are just are looking, you know, great for the club financially just now. And, you know, we keep going in Europe and keep going for that holy grail of the league as well. It's only going to get better.
Yeah, well, just wait till December till our financials come out and the AGM. So, mm-hmm. Next thing here, we were fined £5,000 by UEFA for a COVID breach at the Galatasaray game. Seems to be more of an admin breach than anything. The word in here is the accreditation system must allow stewards to clearly identify who is authorised to be in which zone at what time. The stadium safety and security officers, stewards and private security must be clearly briefed about both the stadium zoning system and the various times, as well as the importance of the application. So I think it's about social distancing and people meant to be in they've kind of zoned out the stadium,
yeah,
and making sure they're in the right area at the right time. And I don't think that was done properly. So it's nothing too serious, fortunately,
because
that could have been a nasty one if it was something else. A few other things here is the SPFL asked clubs to have another vote to give the SPFL board more powers should COVID force the shutdown again. A range of results, so you've probably all read them by now, but depending on the situation. But all three of them, I think it was, showing that less than 50% of the clubs were in agreement with what the SPFL board proposed. What more do you need to tell you that Doncaster and his cronies are not fit for purpose when you cannot get even 50% of each of the things you were voting on pass through?
It's, as I say, Derek, another shambles and another embarrassment for them, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, they said that they're going to revisit it later. They're acting like the SNP government, just thought, if I don't like the results of a vote, we'll just vote again eventually at some point and try and get the result we want. It's not how votes work, you know, and you can't just keep asking the same questions time and time again, expecting a different answer. So we'll just need to wait and see how that one pans out. A weird one here. Remember Luca Gasparotto?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Well, he's
Canadian.
Yes.
An international youngster that we had in our team. Defender. Yes. Yep.
So he's retired from football, aged 25.
Really?
Not due to injury, but to become a tree surgeon.
Okay.
Yes, so a bit of the Lionel Charbonnet is there, you know, quitting football for random purposes.
But okay.
Yeah, fair enough. I thought he was a decent wee player, and I thought he could have, if he certainly wasn't, you know, what quality we've got there now, but he would have made it, you know, in a lesser club, I would have thought.
Well, he certainly did it. He was playing in the sort of lower leagues in Scotland. I don't know if he's maybe, you know, decided that he wanted to go. I take it, it's no said if he's away back to his homeland or whatever, but good luck to him, whatever he decides to do.
He was pining for something else.
Hey, boom, boom. Another one here, Derek, former midfielder, slightly unlucky with injury, Scotland international Graham Dorans, who was playing a short spell for Dundee. He has moved to Australia and signed for A-League club Western Sydney Wanderers. Again, a player who, when we signed him, we were really excited about him coming. It was, you know, when we were, you know, first coming back into the Premier League, and we thought we were going to get an absolute class midfielder. He was a Rangers man himself. He was absolutely delighted to sign for the club. Unfortunately for him, some horrendous injuries and didn't quite work out for him. As I say, he was playing for Dundee there at the start of the season, but he has went off for a new club in Australia. So again, good luck to him and hope it all works out for him.
Absolutely. Yeah, I knew he was leaving Dundee, but I never knew where he went. So
so it's the big pause before you start.
Woman spent thousands on dog's fart treatment before discovering the real culprit. A woman claims she spent thousands of dollars treating her dog's stinky farts only to discover her husband was to blame for the disgusting guffs all along. The problem started around a month ago when the pet owner and her husband were having dinner. In a post on Reddit, the woman recalled, "I smelled something really disgusting. My husband instantly made a face, so I knew it wasn't just me. To be honest, I am pregnant and my sense of smell has been a little sensitive in this time. I couldn't stand the smell and left the room. Later in bed, my husband told me that the dog had farted." Initially, she chalked up the unbelievable fart as a one-off, but the sickening stench puffs persisted and she decided to take action. She explained, "Over the next week, the smell would come again and again at random times. I lit candles, incense, and nothing worked. The whole time, I thought it was the dog and said, 'Okay, fuck it, I'm going to take him to the vet. A fart this stinky isn't normal.' Though my husband kept silent. My vet recommended a diet change for the dog, so I changed the diet, but the stink still continued. I was losing my goddamn mind, and my husband still kept his mouth shut. The vet was extremely confused and ordered a bunch of tests that cost a lot. All the tests showed that the dog was fine. I'm losing my mind here." The woman said it was only 5 weeks later when she had a full-on meltdown that her husband came clean about his dirty habit. As you might expect, she wasn't best pleased. She said, "Y'all, I lost it. I kicked him out of the house and he went to stay with his friends. All of the friends are on my side. To be clear, I didn't mind. He lied in the moment, but he knew we were going to the vet and the vet was confused. And he even went to the vet's appointments with me."
Derek, you sound like Donald Trump.
She was more annoyed the fact that it takes a full panic attack from her and a mental breakdown to say the truth. His mother, who normally thinks the sun shines out of his arse, is on my side as well. She called him, on no uncertain terms, an idiot. The livid wife has since demanded that her pumping partner cover the vet fees. He's also been to a doctor to see what he can do, and he's recommended changing his diet as well.
The one thing that I thought was funny was she said he remains silent, and the silent ones are usually the worst in the lot.
Exactly. So, on that rather stinky note, we'll end the podcast. So, as ever, if you want to check out the rest of the stuff that we do, you can go to our website, which I still need to get updated. I will get around to it at some point, which is iReadyPodcast.wordpress.com, and there you can find post-match reactions, and you can find all the links to our different stuff there. The best thing you can do is probably go to our YouTube site as well, which has got all our podcasts and match reactions as well. So, the only last thing to say is, you know, it's certainly a couple of weeks off now. Dave and I will not be back for a wee bit. And just hope the players recuperate and come back with the same fire they ended up the last game with.
Exactly, Derek. As I say, I think going on international players, we've maybe got about six or seven away, or is there maybe more than that that's going? So we've got to hope that they all come back. There's not any mishaps. There's not any COVID scares. There's not any injuries, anything like that. Just everybody come back safe and hungry to play, and desperate, to be in the starting 11. That's what we are keeping our fingers crossed for. So good luck to everybody.
Yep. So thanks for listening and goodbye.
Take care, folks. We'll be back soon. Cheers. Bye-bye.
And the stadium erupts in red, white and blue. You've never seen anything like it.
Let's go.